Tazria opens with the story of the Yoledes. It's about the woman who gives birth, and we're told that Tamash Shivas Yamim, if she gives birth to a baby boy, she has a certain level of impurity for a certain period of time. If she has a baby girl, it's a different period of time. And then the Torah goes through the purification process, which culminates in the offering of karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in Halacha, we find two different variations of Tumah and Tahara. Sometimes a person can become Tameh from an external, from an outside source. For example, if you come in contact directly with a dead body, if one finds themselves in the same house, under the same roof as a dead body, if you attend a funeral or you're at a cemetery, all of those are external Tumas. You now become Tameh because you were in contact with something outside of yourself. There's a second category of Tumah that we refer to as well, which is Tumah Hayotze Alav Migufo. There are times when a human being, when a person becomes Tameh, not from an external source, but rather because there's some kind of excretion that comes out of their own body, and therefore we assume that that also would render them Tameh under the very nuanced details of what the Halacha says would be the Tumah process. Now in Halacha we also find very detailed and very nuanced details about all the different stages of Tumah as well. And the process of how one goes about purifying themselves also can vary very differently between one Tumah and the next. So interestingly, when we speak about a person who becomes Tameh, we find various degrees and levels of Tumah. So we find the Mishnayos talk about an Avi Avos HaTumah. That is a dead body. Then you have an Av HaTumah, which means somebody who comes directly in contact with the body. Then you have a Rishon, somebody who comes in contact with somebody else who was at the funeral. Then you have a Sheni and a Shlishi, all different levels, all different variations and subcategories of the laws that govern Tumah and Tahara. Now in the Sefer Be'er Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Salant points out that there are two fundamental differences between the halachos of Tumah and Tahara for a human being and the halachos of Tumah and Tahara for an animal. Number one, he says, animals can only become Tameh after death. When the animal dies, it now is considered to be a nevela, it's Tameh, and that's the end. That's it. There's no concept of Tumah for an animal while it is alive. We don't assume that if an animal comes in contact with a dead body or comes in contact with somebody who's Tameh, we don't assume that the animal now is rendered Tameh as well. Whereas human beings, he suggests, and this is clear in the Mishnah, is a human being can become Tameh during our lifetimes. We assume that a human being who comes in contact with a dead body will become Tameh, and throughout life we also have the process of removing Tumah from ourselves. And we go through the Tahara process. That is something that also we have the opportunity to do. A short time later, he says, the cycle can start again. After a person purified themselves, they can come in contact once again with something that is impure, with something that is Tameh, and then they can once again go through the Tahara process, and the same thing can go over and over again throughout life. This, says the Be'er Yosef, is the first distinction. It is the first difference that we find in Halacha between a Tumah on a human being and the Tumah that we find for a animal species. The second, he says, is that animals do not have subcategories of Tumah. An animal, after it dies, becomes Tameh. There is no Rishon, there's no Sheni, there's no Shlishi, there are no subcategories at all. They only have one degree of Tumah, and there's no concept of subdivisions at all of different stages and different phases of Tumah like we do find by human beings. And the Be'er Yosef wonders, what is the significance, perhaps on a level of Hashkafa, what is the significance of the fact that we find all of these divisions and subcategories by human beings who become Tameh, and we don't find it by animals? And secondly, he says, why is it that we find that a human being is able to become defiled and Tameh during their lifetime, whereas an animal does not have that whole parsha, does not have that ability? And he explains as follows, based on a famous pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, where the Navi says, "V'nasati mehalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ele." Mortals, human beings, are referred to as mehalchim, whereas malachim are termed and are labeled as omdim, as those who are stationary, those who are stagnant. And the reason for that is very simple, because a malach is given one task in its existence. A malach is given no choice in life, their existence, whatever that is. They have no room to make any mistakes. They have no bechira. The Ribbono Shel Olam asks them to do a job, that is what they do. They are not conflicted whether or not they should do it, they shouldn't do it, whether they do it properly or they do it improperly. The malach does exactly what it is instructed to do. But we as human beings, do not have that kind of experience. We do not have that existence. We strive. We challenge ourselves. We always progress. So there's a comment in the Sefer Panim Yafos on the pasuk that we say every day in our Psukah Dezimra. In one of the Hallelukas, we say, Yahallelu Hashem Hashem ki hu tzivav nivro. We will praise the name of Hashem because He created all of us. Vayamidem la'ad le'olam. And He erected them, la'ad le'olam, to be there forever. So what is that a reference to? Who is erected? Who is there to be forever? Says the Panim Yafos, what that's a reference to is the Malachim. Malachim are stationary. Malachim are stagnant. Malachim are still in their position and in what they do. They're given one assignment. They're one-dimensional creations. They are omdim. They don't change at all. They do their jobs and they remain in the same place. And they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayamidem la'ad le'olam. They praise the Ribbono Shel Olam every day in the same way they praised Him yesterday is the way they praise Him today. Nothing at all changes about their existence and nothing at all intensifies about their relationship with God Himself. In the same vein, it's very different, but it's in some way the same, writes the Panim Yafos, animals also have no Bechira. An animal doesn't decide, should I do the right thing, should I do the wrong thing? Animals work on instinct, and they don't have the intellect like human beings have to make decisions or to be challenged. They don't have an evil inclination to do something right or perhaps to do something wrong. They have no options in life. They have specific tasks and specific missions, and they have instincts, but we assume that an animal does not really have the ability to be considered a Baal Bechira. And as we said, a human being, on the other hand, is referred to as a Mahalech. Because we as human beings have the unique ability to always reposition ourselves, to always re-challenge and refocus our attention. And sometimes, because we are so multidimensional and we have so many things conflicting in our minds at the time, whenever we have to make a decision, sometimes we make the right decisions, and sometimes we unfortunately make the wrong decisions, and therefore we are termed as mehalchim. Says Rabbi Yosef Salant, based on that comment of the Navi Zechariah, perhaps this is the way to understand the whole parsha of Tuma and Tahara that we speak about in Parshas Tazria. When we say that human beings are mehalchim, that means we are very complex people, and we have to make decisions in life that are very difficult and very complicated, and not every time are we going to make the right decision. And therefore, he said, the parsha of Tuma and Tahara, and the fact that we have different levels and subcategories of Tuma and Tahara, and a human being in life can actually become Tameh, and once again go through the cycle of Tahara, and after they become pure, they can then fall into the cycle again of Tuma and then Tahara, back and forth, and you can be on different degrees of Tuma, you can be a Rishon, a Sheni, a Shlishi. That's what human beings' lives are all about. That's what our existence means. We are not omdim. We are mehalchim. We are constantly changing. We are always moving. And this is something that is always going to be different at the various stages of our lives. And therefore, says the Ber Yosef, that is why we find these two distinctions between Tuma and Tahara by human beings and Tuma and Tahara by the animal kingdom. Number one, he says, an animal cannot become Tame during its lifetime, because an animal doesn't have that kind of life, doesn't have that kind of existence. We have the ability to change, to become Tameh and Tahara back and forth throughout the stages of life. And secondly, he says, this is why we also find that there's a distinction in the various degrees of Tumah that we are confronted with as human beings, because that really is the reality of life that we all experience as well. And the Panim Yafos then goes on to explain. We're introduced to the character of Noach. At the very beginning of the parsha in Noach, we're told, "Es Elokim Mishalech Noach." He was an ish tzaddik, tamim haya bedorosav. He was a great man. But then we're told, "Es Elokim Mishalech Noach." The reason why Noach was a great person, says the Panim Yafos, is because he was always striving. It's because he was always moving. It's because he was always re-challenging and reprogramming himself to think about the new situation that he's confronted with in a new way. He was a person who was Es Elokim Hishalech Noach. That is what great people do. They always re-challenge themselves and take upon themselves new opportunities. And sometimes they fail, and sometimes they pass, and sometimes they make the right decisions, and sometimes they might make the wrong ones. But that is the nature of human beings, and that is the experience that we all share. And similarly, we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, the very end of Sefer Dvarim, he says, Lo uchal od latzeis velavo. I am not able to come and go any longer. So the Gemara asks, really? Don't we know it says Moshe Rabbeinu skipped up a whole mountain and he had no trouble doing that, even though he was a pretty old man. He was over 100 years old. He didn't seem to have trouble. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu mean at the very end of his life when he says, Lo uchal od latzeis velova, I'm not able to come and go anymore. Explains Rav Tzadok HaKohen in a Sefer Pri Tzadok, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he had gotten to the highest level of perfection. He had overcome all of his obstacles in life. He passed every test that the Ribbono Shel Olam had sent him. One of them he failed, but everything else he passed. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have no more that I can do. Lo uchal od latzeis velova. I am no longer a mahalech. I am now an omed. I am what I am. I have accomplished so much in my life. There's nothing more that I can possibly do. I have fulfilled my mission. I have done everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusted me to do in the very noble life that I've lived. Of what value is life at that point? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, if this is what it is, then I know that my end is near. Says the Pri Tzadok, that's what he meant. Lo uchal od latzeis velova, because a life without movement, a life without progression is not a life worth living. That is not the life, that is not the experience of a human being. And then says the Panim Yafo something incredible. He writes that the Medrash Tanchuma tells us, when we come to the Parsha of Shema, so we are told there are two different halachas that govern the two different parshiyos of Shema. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we are told in halacha that you have to be in a stationary position, either sitting or standing, but you have to remain in one place when you say the parsha of Shema. Then when you get to V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha, it says that you're allowed to be moving around, you're allowed to be in motion when you say that parsha of V'ahavta. We don't really understand why that's the case. Perhaps you need to have more concentration when you say Shema, but he suggests perhaps the reason is much deeper than that. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is all about the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That's about our sense of Yira Shamayim. It's about our perception of God himself. That is stationary. That changed. God is constant and God is absolute. That will never change at all. The only thing that does change is when we describe our relationship with Him. Ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. Well, how deep is your love for the Ribbono Shel Olam today? And what do you feel about His love tomorrow? And how is it that we're going to approach the Shemona Esrei that we're about to daven? We have many different feelings, we have many different experiences, and that is not always the same. And therefore, he says, perhaps that is the reason why when we talk about our description of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there the Medrash says we have a right to be in motion because that is what the nature of the relationship is all about. It's constantly changing. It's always going to be different. And our perception and our understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam always has to be that way. And that, says Rabbi Yosef Salant, is what the Torah means to teach us when it instructs us of the laws of Tumah and Tahara at the very beginning of Parshas Tazria. Let me just close with probably my favorite comment of the Shemi Shmuel, and I have to say, I don't read Shemi Shmuel that often, so I'm sure there would be many others that I would love, but this is one that I came across a number of years ago, and it's an incredible insight. The Shemi Shmuel writes on the Haftorah of Parshas Vayikra, Lech Deichacharei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ko'amar Hashem Zacharti Lachesed Nu'urayach. At the end of days, God says, I love the Jewish people, and I admire them so much. Why? Because Lech Deichacharei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, when you were traveling in the desert after you came out of Mitzrayim, you followed me in the desert. And you did not go your own way. And because of that, I love the Jewish people. Ask the Shemi Shmuel. We've had thousands of years of exile. Thousands of difficult experiences. Many, many times where we have been challenged about our faith, and yet we have stuck on, we have hung on for the ride. We have never given up our faith. And yet, at the end of days, when the Ribbono Shel Olam finally brings us a Geula, the best that he can do is to say he loves us because a few thousand years ago we were willing to follow him in the desert. Writes the Shemi Shmuel, we have so many other experiences that we would have chosen to say, this is a reason why God should love you. When he looks at his people and he sees how much they were willing to invest in the relationship with him, isn't that a reason that he should love us? Why does he choose some obscure phenomenon when we were in the desert and we followed him? And after all, says the Shemi Shmuel, we didn't really have any other option. Where were we going to go? So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, the way to Israel is that way. Of course we were going to follow him. So why does he love us so much? Zacharti lachesed nu'urayach. I remember that incredible moment when the Jewish community made a decision that they were going to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not go their own way. We didn't have an option. There was no alternative. Says the Shemi Shmuel, what this means is something far more important, and that is, it's not about that description of the moment when the Jewish community followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the desert. Rather, he says it's about the attitude that the Jews have always had throughout all of their lives, and that is that as great of an experience as we may have had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yamsuf, and as much as it was Biyad Chazak of Israel Natuya, Uvimara Gadol Zugili Shechina, we had the greatest revelations that human beings have ever seen. We felt so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that juncture, at that moment in time, yet the Jewish community made a decision. Lechtech acharai bamidbar. We're going to keep on developing the relationship. We're going to look for more. Lechtech acharai. We're always going to be in a perpetual state of motion because we always want to intensify our relationship and make it something more special than it already is. We were never satisfied with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us a Kriyas Yamsuf. He gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He did all the makos, and we had what one would imagine is the most intense and amazing relationship one can ever have with God Himself. But yet the Jewish people made a decision at that time. Our focus is always going to be on Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar. You know, we say every night in Mariv, V'hasir Satan Milfanenu Umei Acharenu. And many Mefarshim are bothered. What do you mean? You should remove the Satan, the evil inclination, from in front of us and behind us. What's behind us? In front of us means when I make a decision, I don't want to be clouded. But what does it mean behind? So some Mefarshim suggest maybe it means after we fulfill a mitzvah and we feel really good about ourselves, there's a certain part of us that says, I deserve to take it easy now. I made God happy. I did what He wanted. Now, I have a few days when I can take off. That's the Satan me'acharenu. After we perform a mitzvah, the Satan is not only there before, trying to convince us not to do so, not to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam properly. Sometimes the Satan comes me'acharenu and he says, you're good. You've done enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no need to go any further. And that is what we daven for every night. V'hasir Satan milfanenu. That Satan that comes after the great deeds that we are involved in, after the great decisions that we've made, and tries to convince us you're close enough with God, no reason to push it any further, that is a great challenge, and that is what the Jewish community said at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Lechtech acharai bamidbar. We will always continue to intensify our relationship with God, because it is something that we always have an interest in investing more and more into, in order that we should be able to have a more deep and more meaningful relationship with Him as the years of our lives continue.